Yeah, I've got a message this evening for you called Get Out of Town. And I know that the kind of the theme of your events is all about growing into the crown. And so I guess my heart this evening is that you would feel challenged in the place where you're at to grow out from where you are. I think we have a desire in life, don't we, ladies, to light a Yankee candle and put our feet up. Hello. Who doesn't love a good Yankee candle? I've been known to buy them in the January sales for the following Christmas, because who doesn't love Christmas and candles? But life is more than living a settled, comfortable, Yankee candle, feet up life. God has called us as women to affect change. You know, you don't have to be in the ministry to impact people. You can impact people from your workplace, from your college, from your university, from your high school, from retirement. Whatever stage of life you are in right now, Generations Church, God has a call, he has a place, he has a space for you to influence and affect change in. And I need you to not shrug off this message tonight and think, that's not for me, that's for the youth table. This message is for every person, every generation, whatever the age. God wants to use you, and he wants to challenge you tonight in your little comfort zone to say it's time to outgrow that comfortable place you're in, because there is a new space for you to inhabit. And so anyway, just a little bit about me. I'm married to Colin, been married 10 years. Wow. I don't even know how that's happened, but we've been married 10 years. And we've got two kids. We have Austin, who is 5 years old, and Indy, who's 2.5. And Austin started school in September, okay? So my firstborn went to school 6 months ago. I cried. I didn't think I'd be that mum. I am that mum. I cried. I was like, I don't cope with this emotion. Because I think, and I'm a bit of a choleric, you know, kind of controlling person occasionally. And so I'm not the child-led mum, okay? I'm the mum-led mum, okay? So if you're child-led, that's cool. But at some point, it's got to become adult-led. And if you don't, you know, sort that out, you're going to have an issue. Because when they're 16, they're still going to be child-led. And you don't want to be led by a 16-year-old. So we have a very firm understanding in our home of who is the parent. And so I was, you know, I've been that mum. I would do everything for him. I would, you know, look after him. And I knew where he was and knew what he was doing. And he's basically he's just on my hip all the time. He's just there. He's like, I call him my shadow. He's just there all the time. He's that kid. He doesn't want to be by himself. He doesn't want to play by himself. He wants to be where mummy is or daddy is. He wants to be where the fun is. And, you know, I remember as a kid, like when he was a little kid, and he would, you know, have his milk out of a bottle, and then he'd go to a sippy cup. And I can remember thinking, how's he ever going to drink out of a cup with no lid? I'm like, how is he ever going to grasp holding a cup and like drinking from it? And I can remember when he was in nappies thinking, I cannot even comprehend him saying, mummy, I need a wee-wee, or mummy, I need a poo-poo, and then being able to go to a toilet and do that for himself. I can remember as like a young mum stressing, thinking, how is he ever going to handle life without a stair gate? Is he going to fall crashing down the stairs? And before you know it, he's at school and he has this whole day, 9 till 3:15, and he has this whole day that I don't know anything about. What do they do? Children should be allowed mobile phones for the mothers to say, what are you doing? But I did have a reassuring moment the other day when Colin keeps saying, oh, who's your girlfriend, Austin? I'm like, don't do that. Don't prompt him that that's even a thing. It's not a thing. And he kept saying, oh, who's your girlfriend? Who's your girlfriend? And he replied, oh, that's easy. And I'm like, hang on, what do you mean that's easy? No, you shouldn't answer that question. And he said, that's easy. It's mummy and Indy, his sister. I said, correct. Correct answer. But time has gone so quick. I cannot believe my son is at school. But time goes quick with your first, and then you have a second child, and time is like gone. And I have a 2.5-year-old daughter, and I'm not sure what's gone on in her life. 0 to 1. Placid, beautiful, peaceful, you would not even believe, dream, the dream child. And then she turned 1 and something went wrong. A I don't know what happened. Someone had a word with her. I don't know if someone spiked a drink with something, but something went wrong. And she turned into the craziest kid you have ever known. Thankfully, she's mellowed out because she can talk now. Whereas when she couldn't talk, it was that. My response was just. It was basically like that noise for a good year at each other. And we had we run a mum's breakfast for all of our young mums that we gather together, and we look after the kids so that they can worship without holding children on their hips. And all the dads look after the kids. And I remember one morning, Gav, Janine's husband, he went to take a sip of his cup of coffee and gagged as he tried to. And one of the dads came over and said, "Oh, Indy, just put a napkin in your coffee." She just like runs around. She's like, she got a red Sharpie pen once on my almost white, pale grey, white laminate flooring. Just drew. It's kind of my own fault because I got masking tape to make a hopscotch. You do anything, don't you, to pass time. So I was like, let's make a hopscotch. So I did masking tape, and then I drew on the masking tape with the pen so they could see it. And she went, then climbed up to the top of the roof, found this Sharpie pen, and just started drawing all over my floor. And that's like a regular one. I pick her up from nursery, and they often say, "We've had a lot of no's today, Mummy." I'm like, sorry. Sorry about that. Get out, get out. She's still in nappies, and regular I will go into her bedroom in a cot, and she's like, "I'm naked." No nappy on at all. Just strips on down. But she is she's a different child to Austin. Austin is compliant. Indy is defiant. And we were on holiday in the summer just gone. And we went, we were in Filey. And Indy was running off out of the park. So we're kind of in this park and surrounded by this kind of grass area and trees and everything. It was all safe and all contained. But she just kept running out of the park. And so she would have been like, I don't know, 1.5 or something. And I spent the whole like time, "Indy, Indy, 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 I'm going to count to 3. 1, 2, 3. I don't know what comes after 3. Indy." Because like when you count to 3 with Austin, it works. When you count to 3 with Indy, she's just like, "What are you going to do? Get to 4? Whoa." So she just would like go and I felt God speak to me in this like moment and said to me, "Just let her go and explore." And I was like, "Who said that?" And I felt God really challenge me and tell me to extend the rope, because as you know, for children, there's a safe zone, you know, and so often we're like, "Come back, no, come back, come back, come back." And I felt God say, "Just let Indy go and explore." And I felt God start to almost download to me that these are some of the key words. If we could hear heaven, some of the words that he would constantly be beckoning to your life. "Oh, just go and explore. Just go and have a look. Just try it out. Have a dream and go and explore it." A couple of months ago, Colin was in the office at home and he came running into the room. He's like, "Beth, I think the Holy Spirit's just told me that we need to book a cinema screen at Cineworld and we need to run Alpha in the cinema." And I was like, "Cool, let's just go and explore." And we're right in the middle of it. Got our final one tomorrow night, and we've had in 2 nights we've had 300 different people, unsaved people, come to the cinema. God might have said it, but he might not. But if not, just go and explore anyway. You know, many of you would know Pastor Jenny's story. She felt on her heart to help support broken, vulnerable women with life-controlling issues. The Holy Spirit said, "Just start. Just find a girl that needs supporting and help her. Find another one, help her. Open a home. Invite these girls into a home. Just explore." You know, a while ago, I was kind of in the middle of, you know, toddler zone, young babies, and I'm thinking, you come to church and you have kids and you don't worship anymore because you can't lift your hands, and then when you do lift your hands, you're looking at the kids to check that they're okay. And there was almost like a real shift in a season for me, and I felt, you know, I want to do something for mums, and I felt God say, "Well, just do something then." And so we just cooked some sausages and made a fry up for mums and put flowers on the table and invited them to sit round tables, and we'd have worship where they could worship, and we took care of their children. And God was like, just go and explore. You know, maybe you're in here tonight and you're thinking, "Oh, I'd love to maybe move house, or I'd love to maybe go and look at a new job." And you know, heaven today is not kind of closed off, saying, oh, you're going to have to work this out, or I'm not sure, I think you're comfortable where you are. Tonight, the word of God over your life is just go and explore. Life is not contained to the four walls of your park. There is a whole area that God has marked out for you to go and have a look at. But so often we're in our park. We swing on the same swing. Woo, this is radical. I'm on my swing that I've been swinging on for 12 years. Oh, I'm going to go over here and go on the slide. This is so cool, but I've been on the slide for 5 years. And we never actually think, what would happen if I stepped out of my border and thought, this isn't familiar, but maybe there's something of God in this for me. Just go and explore. God is always trying to grow something bigger within you. God is not a God of decrease and just the plateau. He is the God of increase. And it's his intention, his heart for you tonight, that your life would get bigger. He wants to increase you in every area. In your mindsets, in your capacity, in your vision. He wants to increase your abilities in every way. Your ability to handle complexity, your ability to forgive, your ability to love. He wants to constantly enlarge you and expand you. It's not normal to stay the same. It's actually normal in the kingdom of God to keep growing and keep changing. And you know, I grew up in a town, not a village, a town, called Pontefract. Anyone from Pontefract? No, but you know it. Pontefract cakes, okay. So I'm a West Yorkshire girl. And Pontefract has a population of 30,000 people, okay? So I grew up in a town, and when I was a teenager, we would call up our friends and say, hey, do you want to go to town? Yeah, I want to go to town. Shall I meet you in town? Yeah, I'll meet you in town. And when I was a teenager, the reason you went to town was for one of three things. It was either because you wanted to go to Boots, Superdrug, or Woolworths. That was it. No Topshop, no Zara. If you went to town, that was where you were going. And a real treat would be a sausage roll from Greg's for your lunch while you're in town. And a real, real treat would be in town, and my dad would look at me and say, hey, do you want one? I say, go on, Dad. Let's go get a bag. And we'd go to the market and we'd get a bag of brandy snaps. That was a real treat. But you see, I grew up in a town. And I think what I hadn't realized is that, yes, I grew up in a town, but it actually conditioned my thinking in many ways. I moved to Sheffield and I went to Meadowhall, and it blew my mind that you needed a map to find Greg's. Like, you go to that thing, where are you? I am here, but Greg's is here. But it's like not just Greg's, it's like a whole food court full of Greg's and options. And I moved to Sheffield to study. And it is obviously a much bigger city, but throughout my time in Sheffield and over the years, I'd realized that I had actually almost conditioned my life to have a town mentality. And God would often speak to me over the years, and he would say, Beth, I am trying to get the town out of you and get the city in you. And God has challenged me over the years to think bigger, but often my default response is that of a town. And I'm not criticizing towns. You live in a town. Towns are awesome. But the problem is when we have a town mentality is that it holds us back in our thought life, our prayer life, our vision, our belief for God. And it's so comfortable and it's so familiar, and there's the Boots and there's the Woolworths, and we know where our go-to zones are, and we know where the leave-it zones are, and it becomes our safe place. This is my hood. This is my zone. This is my town. But I really felt that God said to share this message with you tonight, ladies, that it is time, not physically, but spiritually, to get out of town. Because as a child, you are constantly outgrowing seasons. Like, you're not still drinking out milk out of a bottle, are you? That would be awkward. Really awkward. But, you know, when you're a child, you outgrow the bottle. You outgrow the toddler bed. You outgrow the school uniform. You know, you outgrow living at home. You outgrow the family home. Maybe you buy a little place as a couple and you have children, you outgrow that home. You will outgrow this church building. Believe it or not, this is not forever. This is a season. You will outgrow, and already I can see that you will outgrow this building. We have spent a lifetime effortlessly outgrowing things with even no thought or no consciousness to it. We have just been growing. We've been growing. We've been outgrowing clothes post-baby. Hello. Those jeans don't fit anymore, do they? I just pass them on to the next generation. Oh, I've got too many jeans. What I'm really saying is they don't fit me anymore. But what was really depressing was when my jeans didn't fit me after I had my kids, that I gave them to my mum and they fit my mum. Wounded. Low point. But you spent a lifetime effortlessly outgrowing seasons, but God wants you to have an outgrowing lifestyle in your faith. And there's some things tonight, ladies, you need to outgrow. There are mindsets, old mindsets, that need to be outgrown. Outgrowing our attitudes, outgrowing our insecurities, and growing into a bigger space, growing into bigger thinking, a greater peace and a deeper joy, growing into a larger place of faith. Refuse the enemy any opportunity to whisper to you that this is it. Do not let the enemy tell you this is as good as it's going to get. Maybe your marriage is difficult at the moment. Do not let the enemy tell you, well, it's not going to get any better. Maybe your children are challenging you right now and the enemy's saying, well, welcome to the teens. This is it for you. They're going to be on that path now. It's going to be problematic. Refuse to let the enemy tell you that something cannot change. And as women, we need to outgrow the lies of the enemy, and we need to outgrow our insecurities and our own hang-ups and our own brokenness so that we can grow into a bigger place within our hearts. We need to get out of town so that God can get the city in you. See, God's into increase. He really is into increase, like big time. And we get saved, don't we? And it's like, woo, I'm saved. He is a good, good father. And then we become a Christian, and we're a Christian for like 2 years. He's a good, good father. It's good. And there's like, almost like, it's not growth, it's like the opposite, because we're getting comfortable and we're getting used to church, and we used to turn up to church with our journals and open and ready, and now we just come to church and just for the free coffee, really, and it's cool. But listen, God wants to grow your life. Your life as a Christian should be going, expanding from strength to strength, from bigger place to bigger place, not kind of shrinking in. And, you know, there's so many scriptures, hundreds of scriptures. I'm only going to read 355 tonight. But there are hundreds of scriptures about increase. Psalm 85, verse 12. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Psalm 115, verse 14. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. Psalm 138, verse 3. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul, you increased. Isaiah 9, verse 3, you have multiplied the nation and you have increased its joy. Isaiah 9, verse 7, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. This thing is not going to stop growing. Isaiah 26, verse 15, but you have increased the nation, O Lord. You have increased the nation. You are glorified. You have enlarged the borders of the land. That is God's design and his plan. But you see, we have an inbuilt desire in us to shrink back. We have an inbuilt desire in us to sit down, let the other generation do it, or let somebody else take the baton. Listen, this is not a time to sit down. This is a time to get out of town. There is a ceiling over your life right now called smallness. and it is trying to contain you in the same mindsets, in the same attitudes, in the same responses to life. But that ceiling can be broken tonight as you make a decision. I am not going to live under the mindset of a town. There is a city in me. There is a people that need me. I need to rise out of myself and get into the city. And you know, there's a story in the Bible. It's quite a well-known story, so I won't read all of it. But you know, God speaks to Moses and he tells him, you need to send out the spies. Joshua, Caleb, and the other guys, you need to send them out because I am giving you a land. It flows with milk and honey, the land of Canaan. It's amazing. Send the spies. I'm giving it to you, but go and get them to spy it out. But the context of that story is the place that the spies were currently living at that time was a place called Paran. Paran. Everybody say Paran. Well done. I don't know if that's like the actual way you pronounce it, but it sounds good. But the word Paran means cavern. The very description of the place the spies were currently living, the place they were currently existing, was a cave. The very name, cavern, it almost speaks to us of smallness, claustrophobic. It's a cave, it's dark, it's limiting, it's narrow. And God comes and says, I want to take you from Paran. I want to take you from the town and I want to give you a new land called Canaan. It's huge. It's like the equivalent of the states of New York, okay? This is like Cave New York, Cave New York. There's no comparison. And God's saying, you're not going to have to like work hard. I'm giving you it, okay? So there might be a fight in the flesh, but this is your land. He's promised them it. But as this story goes on, I think the greatest tragedy we see within this story is that the spies took a town mentality into a city. They were living in a cave. They were living in a small place, and they took the smallness in their mind and actually took it into the land of Canaan when they went to spy it out. And just want to give you a couple of things, just comparisons between the town and the city within you and our responses when God says, hey, I've got something new for you. Maybe it's a promotion or it's a new job or a new house, and God comes and says and gives you a promise, and how we respond is often the town, but God wants us to respond as the city. The first thing is this: the town in you will feel too small to fight, but the city in you will think they're too big to miss. The town in you is going to feel too small to fight, but the city in you will think, well, they're too big to miss. In chapter 13, verse 27, it says, and they told him, we came to the land to which you sent us. So they're now reporting back about what they've seen. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. So they brought some back. However, the people who dwell in the land, they're strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the hill and country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. And so they begin to bring this report of a town response. Oh, but, well, I'm not sure. I don't think. The problem is. And Caleb becomes so frustrated. It says, but he quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. See, one response is town, but one response is city. But even then, they just keep going. The men had gone up and said, oh, we're not able to go up against the people. They're stronger than we are. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land. A bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, the land, though, which we have gone to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. Now, when God comes and he gives you a promise or a new season or an opportunity to step out, we have two responses. One is, I'm too small. I can't fight this. They're too big. I'm not good enough. I'm not big enough. I'm not this. I'm not that. Or we can respond with almost a heart cry. Well, the good thing about a giant enemy and the good thing about a massive opposition is you can't miss them. The greater the enemy, the easier it is to hit them. These are not little hard, little snaky things to catch. These are like whopping massive great, great enemies. Well, at least your target's big. But the town in you is saying, no, I can't. I'm too small. I'm too this. I'm too that. But the city in you will say, I can't miss. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For the Spirit of God, for the Spirit God gave us, did not make us timid. Okay, rewind. When you accept Christ into your life, the Holy Spirit comes in. And that Spirit does not come with timidity. The timidity you're carrying is not of the Spirit. So if it's not of the Spirit, you don't need to carry it. Because you're now a woman of the Spirit. If the Spirit doesn't carry timidity, you get me here? You don't need that. You can ditch that, okay? You don't even have to pay to remove it. No removal van, you ditch it. That is not from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into your life and gives you power, love, and self-discipline. And by nature, we're intimidated. By nature, we're fearful. In nature, we're too small. But God gave us His Holy Spirit. And some of you tonight, it's time to get out of timidity. Stop saying, I'm the timid one. I'm the shy one. I'm the quiet one. It's fine to be quiet, but there needs to be a voice within you that says, but I can overcome. The town in you will be full of self-concern, but the city in you will be full of common vision. See, what I love, one of the most famous scriptures in this story, it says that the spies responded, but we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them. I just love this. This is like God gives them this amazing promise. You know, God's about to give them this new land, and their response is, oh, but we look like grasshoppers to ourselves and also to them. I'm just like, I read this and I'm like, ah, get over yourselves. The spies were more concerned with how small they were and how inadequate they were than how divinely supreme and strong God was. I don't do well with people that talk like that, if you hadn't noticed. But this is not about you and your ability to, and your capacity to, and your strength to. This is about His calling and His anointing upon you and His strength made perfect in your weakness. You don't actually need to have any strength because His strength is made perfect in your weakness. We need to stop being so concerned with ourselves and how this is going to affect us and more concerned with the common vision. We can certainly do this. And you know, there are times when your pastors are going to come to you and they're going to say, church, we're expanding, we're growing, we're stepping out, we're going to increase. And our first response often is, oh, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if it's going to work with the kids' schedule. You don't need to be concerned with yourself because God's concerned with you. He'll take care of the details of your world. He'll take care of the kids' routine and all that. When you unite with a common vision and say, we are in this, we can surely do this. We're not concerned with the detail of our world because God will concern Himself with that. When you step in, God meets you there. Where unity is, God will command a blessing. And I feel there is a time coming where your pastors are going to come and they're going to say, right, church, it's time to step up. And you're going to want to go to self-concern. But the Holy Spirit's going to go, hello, remember that girl that came and said, you can't do that. Don't do that. Unite in common vision. Do not get so concerned with your inability. Concern yourself with His ability. You know, we get so obsessed with sense. This doesn't make sense. This isn't making sense to me. It can't be right. It's just, there's no sense here. We need to outgrow sense, because if it made sense, it wouldn't be God. We've got to move out of logic and what makes sense into common vision. God wants you to outgrow self-concern and join with a common vision. We can surely do this. The town in you will tear down, but the city in you will build up. The town in you will tear down. It will criticize. It will mock. It will ridicule. But the city in you will build up. Joshua and Caleb got so frustrated by the dialogue that was coming from the spies' mouth. We can't do this. We're grasshoppers. We're rubbish. We're this. We're rubbish. Ah. And they just got so frustrated, so angry, that when you read the scriptures, it says that they tore their clothes. Have you ever been so irritated with your children that you want to just, or your husband, or just anyone, that you just thought, I just need to punch something or rip something? They were so frustrated with their small talk that it says that they actually tore their clothes. The town in you will always criticize, but the city in you will be deliberate and will, despite what you see and the intimidation that lies ahead, will always make a decision to say something different. What they saw was too big. What they saw was huge opposition. What they saw was a land that should have devoured them. But what they saw in their spirit was, no, 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 this is a promise from God. We need to guard what comes out of our mouth, women. I'm currently writing another message, another preach that I'm doing in a couple of weeks, and I was researching. And you know, snakes, the poison that they carry is carried in glands in their mouth. Hello. Women, there is something very powerful stored within your mouth. Life and death is at the power of your tongue. We can make a decision, you know, as the pastors come and our friends come and say, I've got a vision, I've got a dream, we're going to step up. We can make a decision to criticize and speak, no, that's not going to work, that's not going to happen, you haven't thought this through, that doesn't make sense. Or we can make a decision to speak faith. Well, if God's for us, who can be against us? He'll build his church. Nothing can prevail against it. Listen, he started something in you. He will see it through to completion. He's going to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we can ask, think, or imagine. We're with your heart and soul. God is in this. We can make a decision of the declaration that comes out of our mouth. It's time to declare, if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us. And then finally, and the keys can jump up. Not literally the keys jump up, that would be really weird. The keyboard player can jump up and join me. That would be awesome. Let's give a round of applause for the keyboard player. Doing an awesome job. And finally, the town in you will carry a fence, but the city in you will carry a dream. Numbers 14 verse 10, it says, then all the congregation said to stone them with stones. So Joshua and Caleb are getting really ticked off at the spies, but the spies are getting really ticked off at Joshua and Caleb. And their conclusion is, they're so irritating with their positive faith talk, let's stone them. If they're friends, who needs enemies? That's not a good day at the office when someone's so angry at you, they set to stone them. They were ready to throw stones at Joshua and Caleb because they were consumed by a dream. And you know, some of you here tonight, you will have been offended in the town. People will have said things to you in the town that will have offended you or upset you or hurt you. And maybe you've been carrying that for some time. Maybe you've been carrying the stone of offense for some time. When we're transitioning from a town into a city, we can only carry one thing. Now you can think, I'm going to move into a new season, I'm going to carry that offense, or you can make a decision to put that down and to carry a dream in your heart for a new day. And I am overwhelmed at the number of Christians I meet that talk about offense. And when you kind of get into why they're offended, they talk about in 1992, a pastor said to them something like a throwaway comment, and it's like sunk in their spirit, and they've made a bed for it, and they've fluffed the pillow for it, and they've just let it lie there, and they've relived that moment, and they've thought over that moment, and then they've kind of just become resentful and despondent in church life because in 1992, listen, in the words of Frozen, we're going to have to learn, ladies, to let it go. Because offense is robbing you, not them. They're blissfully unaware that you're still resenting them and, you know, cursing them in your sleep. They don't know. They're just living life. But when you carry that, it kind of, there's only room for one, fear or faith. There's only room for one. Offense or a dream. You've got to choose what you're going to take into this city with you. And for many of you here, you need to lay it down, pick up your dream, and march forward into the city. And I just want to kind of come to a close really with this scripture and maybe just share a word for us to respond to. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 in the Message version, I love the Message version. Are you with me there, Joe? You read from the Message version. Simple girls like it nice and clear. The Message version does that for you. It says this in verse 11, dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives are not small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. And this evening you have an open invitation to leave the town, to leave Paran, to leave the cavern. You have an open invitation. No one is holding you here. No one. Because you are held by Christ. You are not held just by your pastor or your husband. You are held by Christ. No one is fencing you in here. And you have an open invitation this evening to leave the town. And I know it's comfortable. And I know it has many Yankee candles. And I know it's your safe zone. And I know it's where you feel like you've got it together. And if you step out of that, you're not quite sure what will come. You're not quite sure if you have the strength to make it in the city. But tonight there is an open invitation that if you leave the town, that God will take you into the city. There is a much bigger space for you. There is a much bigger space for this church. Just because you're in a town does not mean you need to think like a town and dream like a town and turn up to church like a town. This is a city church. There is a city within this town. But tonight there is an open invitation for you to leave Paran and enter your land of Canaan. This isn't just about seeing a new horizon. This is about stepping into a new horizon. And last night as I was just preparing, I felt just God say the word shadow. Shadow, 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 shadow. And I felt God speak to me that as many women here tonight and you have been hiding in the shadows. And it's really funny, actually, this morning Pastor Jen mentioned shadows and was talking about when you're in the shadows, obviously you're not in the sun, and there's actually like that not having vitamin D actually has a bad effect on your body. And she was talking all about that because she's from Australia and she's still bitter that there's no sun here. And I'm like, get over it, Jen. It's all right, you know, it's just no sun here. But for some of you, it's like you have remained in the shadows, and it's like the sun, the heat of what God wants to do in your life. He's desperate to get it on you, but you've got to step out of the shadows. And you kind of think, well, is that me? What do you mean I'm hiding in a shadow? There's some of you that you're hiding behind your husbands, hiding behind your kids. Hello. How easy is that as a mum? Put one on one hip, one on the other. Or I'm just a mum. I'm just a mum. I'm just a mum. I'm a mum. No, you are far more than a mum. If you are raising children, you are doing one of the most, one of the most incredible jobs on planet Earth. That is to raise young people in the house of God, in the ways of God. But some of you be saying, I'm just his wife, or I'm just a mum, or I'm just retired, or I'm just a widow, or I'm just divorced. And tonight I felt like God was beckoning you to get out of the shadows. That is not your time to remain in smallness, because your smallness is not serving anyone. It's only serving your insecurities. And people's lives await you stepping out. There are people that would not reach Christ if you did not step out. There are people on the fringes of this church that are not here tonight that you need to step out and reach and bring them into the city with you. And I guess in this moment, maybe we can drop our notebooks and our pens and stand to our feet. And I would love for us to respond in our hearts tonight, because I know that there's many people here and God is pulling you and beckoning you out of the town, out of old mindsets and into the city. And tonight you feel challenged, but also you feel ready for God to take you out. It feels scary and it feels intimidating, like you stood at the edge of a cliff, but this is your tipping point. It's not time to stay in the comfort of the mum life anymore. to stay in the comfort of the wife life anymore. It's not just about aspiring to a beautiful home and a good career. It's about stepping out into the city, into all that God has for us. Why don't we stand to our feet this evening? Just with our, I guess, our eyes closed, and maybe we can lift our hands to heaven this evening. The presence of God is here, is at hand. Thank you, God. If you're here tonight and you just know that God's nudging you, it's like a little prod behind your back. You can almost feel it. Like, no, not me, God, not me. But you can feel that prodding. If you're here tonight and you sense, I've been stuck in a town and I need to get out of Paran, it's time for me to head into my Canaan. I want you to lift your hands to heaven this evening. I want you to lift your hands. For some of you, it's like lift them high, because the town in you would lift them low so that it would feel discreet and you hope God wouldn't notice. But the city in you is lifting your hands high tonight, saying, God, get me out of the town and into the city. And God is causing you. There is more within you. There is a business inside. Some of you women here, there's a business within you. And you're like, should I, shouldn't I don't know where to start. Get around the right people and just start. There's a business within some of you. For some of you, there's a charity within you. You have a heart to help some people, and you kind of like, you've just left it as, I've got a heart for. But now God is saying, step out, take some action, apply for some funding. There is a charity within some of you. You're retired. You're like, what shall I do with the latter years of my career, of my life? Start what's on your heart and put it into action. It's going to look small and it's going to look pathetic, but don't despise the day of small beginnings, because everything starts small. Everything starts in a small place. I want you to lift your hands and say, God, I'm ready. Use me. Take me into the city in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Father, right now I speak a new wave of confidence into every life right now that has lifted their hands. Father, I speak a new day, a new era. And there's a scripture in the Bible and it says, as surely as the sun will rise, so he shall appear. And you're even thinking right now, what if you don't come through, God? What if you don't turn up? What if you don't meet me with the miracle in the city? And God would say, as surely as the sun will rise tomorrow. You're not going to go to bed and think, will the sun rise in the morning? It won't appear behind a cloud, but it will be there. You don't need to question that. You don't need to question God. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear over your life. And Father, tonight I prophesy, God, new land, bigger land. Many lives been impacted on the other side of this stepping. And Father, right now I pray for boldness and courage and a steel and a tenacity to reside within every woman in this place. Let this not be a church known for just a nice town church, but let it be known for a church, a city church, outgrowing its place in the name of Jesus. And I just sense for you, Joe, gosh, you have such a tension in you, because you're such a city person and you see it here, you see it there, you see it everywhere, and you run to the city and you're there with God, but then it feels like you have to run back over here to get them over here, and God, just stay here. Let Joe do the running. Just you stay there, because the church needs you here, in your spirit, in your prayer life, in the city. And there's a tension within you, because you're like, I don't want to leave anyone behind, but God's got them. And when you speak, oh my gosh, I'm like, is it like 1,000 people in this room? You speak as if you're speaking to a church of 1,000 people. I feel God say, when you're preparing your messages and your thoughts, do it for 1,000 people. And you're not going to see 1,000 people on Sunday this week coming. I'm not prophesying doom. That's just probably good mathematics. It doesn't happen that quick. But keep preparing for 1,000 and keep preaching to 1,000 and keep prophesying to 1,000. And everything you've seen in your spirit, you will see with your eyes. And God says, do never downsize because of what you see here. Only upsize because of what you're seeing here. And there is a city in you. Never run back Let your team run back. Let your people run back. But never run back. You've got to stay here. This is your zone. Joe's zone. Don't let her run back. Just lift your hands. I want to pray for this church. Father, we pray right now for Generations Church. Father, a church, Father, that consents is on the eve of expansion and on the eve of growth. Father, you're about to do a new thing in Louth. You're about to do a new thing, Father, in the people of this town. And Father, I pray that tonight, as your women have stepped out, that every woman would touch this week 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lives. Father, that we'd see a ripple effect, Lord God, from this room. It just in the week, in the office, in the school, in the university, Father, people beginning to reach out and impact. Father, an invitation beginning to swell. And Father, we speak over this house. Let it be a house of 1,000. Let it be a house of 1,000. And even as I'm prophesying that, some of you feel a bit uncomfortable. But that's not us. That can't happen in Louth. But it's going to be a church that's going to impact. And it's going to be outside of the norm for Louth. It's going to go past the norm for Louth. No one maybe have grown a church before in Louth to that size, but that's the mandate on this house. And it might not be 1,000 people gathered in one room. It might be 200 in one room, 200 in another, multiple places around Louth. It might work like that, but God would say that this is a church of 1,000. And Father, I prophesy right now, people coming, people receiving Christ, new salvations every week, new salvations. Father, would you bring the right people, raise your leaders, grow your house, finance your house, resource your house. Father, I pray for Joe and Matt right now, Lord God, anoint them for this new season. Father, let them see through the eyes of a city, God, what you have in store for this amazing place. And Father, we thank you. You're faithful. You're a good God. And Father, I pray tonight many dreams would be reawakened. Many dreams will be birthed tonight. Father, let it be a new day for this house. Let it be a new day for the women of Generations Church in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give God a huge shout of praise. We thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen.